Amen. I invite you to turn with me in your copy of the Old Testament scripture to Isaiah chapter number 12 this morning. Isaiah chapter number 12. What would you say to your former self if you were given the chance? If you could speak to your younger self, perhaps back in the day when you were a child or a young adult, what would you say to your former or younger self? Perhaps if I could speak to myself 20 or 30 years ago, I might say something like this: don't worry about the future. It's going to happen. I might say one bad test grade isn't going to ruin your life forever. I might say to myself back in the day, start saving for retirement now when you're young, or take more risks, or don't hold on to hurts. Enjoy the simple things in life while you can. That's some of what I might say to my former or younger self. But this morning, let's change the game a bit. And let me ask what you would say to your future self if you had the chance. If you could speak to your older self, perhaps 20 or 30 years from now when you're old, you say, Pastor, there won't be anything left of me 20 or 30 years from now. I'm already old. If that's the case, then this game is not for you, okay? But if you could imagine speaking to your future self 20 or 30 years from now when you're old, what would you say? You might say, don't drive all the way home with your left blinker on. You might say, some of you get that, right? Because you've done that. You might say, don't judge the younger generation as they're just trying to figure things out for themselves. You might say, get rid of all your junk so that your kids don't have to deal with it when you die. You might say, do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going, you might say. And there are things that we might say to our former self or our future self. In Isaiah chapter 12, Isaiah brings this first section of the book to a close with a word to Israel's future self, identifying what Israel will say in the future. Look at it with me, Isaiah 12, verse number 1. And in that day, you will say. Look at verse number 4. In that day, you will say. In what day? In that day. Now, up to this point in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah has used that phrase, in that day, no less than a dozen times to predict a time of judgment. But now he's using that phrase, it's become something positive, for it denotes a future time when the Messiah will rule and reign in perfect righteousness. It's a reference to the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ that is described in Isaiah chapter 11 and in Revelation 20, verses 1 through 7. And so I've written there at the top of your notes, Isaiah is preparing God's people for the future self of Israel, if you will, in that day. And when that time comes, Israel will sing a hymn of praise to the Lord. And I propose that we ought to do the same. And so from Isaiah chapter 12, I prepared a message simply titled, A Hymn of Praise. Let me pause briefly for prayer, and then we'll unpack the scripture together. God in heaven above, we humbly bow our heads and our hearts before you to bless your name, to honor, to reverence, to worship you, to acknowledge that you are the God of all gods, you are the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And Lord, I pray that you will in these moments illumine the scripture text to us so that we might understand its teaching and that we might make right application of it to our lives. I pray, God, for me, the preacher, that you would help me to accurately articulate the meaning of this text in its context. I pray for the hearer, Lord, that you would remove distraction and defeat the wicked one in our midst so that they might receive what you would have for them. And above all, God, it's our desire that we would praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Isaiah 12 is a hymn that future Israel will sing in that day. And there are two stanzas to this hymn in Isaiah chapter 12 that are marked by the words, in that day you will say, verse number 1, and again in verse number 4. Now, in the English language, the word you can be used as both singular and plural. I can address each of you singularly by saying you, or I can address all of you collectively by saying you. If we lived in the South, we'd say all y'all, right? But you singular and you plural. However, in the Hebrew language, the you at the beginning of verse number 1 is in the singular form. It's the individual you. In that day, each of you individually will say. And then when we get to verse number 4, the Hebrew language is in the plural. It's the plural you. In that day, all y'all together will say collectively. So verses 1 through 3 are part of a solo in the hymn, if you will, the solo part of the hymn. Verses 4 through 6 are the corporate part of the hymn. And it provides for a natural division in the hymn, and it provides for a very simple two-point outline. And so I would offer you number one, praise God as a personal testimony. Praise God individually as a personal testimony. Look with me at chapter 12, Isaiah 12, verse number 1. And in that day, you, singular, will say, O Yahweh, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Now the Bible tells us that our sins have separated between us and our God, Isaiah 59, verse number 1. The Bible tells us that we were once alienated and enemies against God because of our wicked works, Colossians 1, verse 21. So consequently, the Bible tells us that the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men in Romans 1. Yet, when God's wrath is met by God's love and his mercy and his grace, he turns his anger away. And someday, in that day, each one individually will recognize the amazing love and mercy and grace of God in turning his anger away from Israel to comfort Israel, the end of verse number 1 says. Like the parent who necessarily disciplines their child, but then embraces their child in a gesture of unconditional love. And so I would offer you this, letter A, we must thank God for his love and his mercy and his grace. Today, in our day, each one of us individually as New Testament Christians should be thankful that God's love and mercy and grace has spared us from his righteous anger and wrath. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. And I hope that's your testimony this morning. If that is not your testimony, I implore you to call on the name of the Lord and be saved so that you too can praise God individually with a personal testimony of salvation. Look at verse number 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahweh the Lord, or Yahweh is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. You see, someday your future self will look back at your former self and fully realize the significance of the salvation that was given to you, and you will say, behold, God is my salvation, verse 2. He has become my salvation, verse number 2. Over the years, I've had the privilege on a couple different occasions to be part of court hearings in which a judge signs the decree of adoption for a child that is to become part of a new family. And at those adoption finalization ceremonies, I have celebrated with those families after months, even maybe years of process in the adoption process. The mom and dad no longer have to live with the uncertainty of making that child their own. And it's a great day. It's a great experience there in the courtroom. But then I look at the young child, the one to be adopted, and it strikes me that they have no idea what is happening to them. And while they are being adopted into their forever family, all they know is that they had to get dressed up and take a lot of pictures with a lot of strangers, right? That's all that they can understand or appreciate in that moment. But eventually, over the course of time, the child learns of the marvelous meaning of their adoption. And if you've been adopted, you're here this morning, your mom and dad loved you so much that they chose you for their own. And they adopted you. And it's only in time that the child's future self can fully appreciate their position in the family. And folks, it's the same way spiritually. In the same way, we are adopted into God's family by faith in Jesus Christ. But when we are so young spiritually, we don't fully understand or appreciate what is happening to us. It's not until much later in life or until that day when we're with the Lord forever. So then, if I could change the game again, what would our future Christian self say to our current or present Christian self? Look at verse 2, the middle of verse 2. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, the Lord, all capitals, capital L-O-R-D, that's Yahweh in the Hebrew. For Yahweh is my strength and song. So your future self, if your future self could speak to you today, this is what your future self would say. Letter B, trust God for daily strength and a song. Trust God for daily strength and a song. And folks, if we can trust the Lord today for our eternal salvation in the future, we can certainly trust him today for our daily living today. Okay, so what does this look like? I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like difficult circumstances. Your circumstances are difficult today. And the diagnosis is grave. And the economy is bad. And your relationship has been devastated. And you're afraid. Unless something changes, things are going to go from bad to worse. And you don't know what to do. There's no light at the end of the tunnel, and you're more tired than you've ever been before, and you feel like quitting. Quitting on your marriage. Quitting on life. Where do you find the strength to go on? Trust God for sufficient strength for today, because he is the God of salvation for eternity. You see, okay, Pastor, I'll trust God for today, but then you also want me to sing a song? Really? I mean, that's what it says. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahweh is my strength and song. You're going to ask me to sing a song? One Bible commentator that I read this week likened this to the old musicals, or even new musicals, I suppose, in which people just break into song. Have you ever thought of how strange that is? And this is what he wrote, citing the musical Singing in the Rain. Here's what he writes. He says, Gene Kelly is walking down the street, happily sloshing in the rain and puddles, wonderfully in love, and he just starts singing. It's crazy. To enjoy the scene, we have to suspend belief just enough to play along with the movie. We have to let the spell come over us and identify with a grown man out in the rain, soaking wet, not caring at all, and singing his head off. Why do people make films like that? Why do we watch them? The reason is this isn't really crazy after all. God has put into our hearts that very capacity. The freedom to break into song as the wonder of his saving love fills our hearts. That holy delight is what we were created for. We sense that it is so, and in the kingdom we will glorify and enjoy God with unrestrained song. He goes on to say this. I've copied it for you there on the back of your notes. It's projected there on the screen. He says, the heart sings when we accept how little it matters that we are in control and how much it matters that God is in control for us. When we discover how little it matters that we are able and how much it suffices that God is able on our behalf. The day we step into the messianic kingdom and find that God has been true to his word, we redeemed will erupt in music as never before. The gospel says that we will sing a new song. It will sound like the roar of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder, like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. He goes on, he says, we have not yet heard that sound. Sustained intensity like a waterfall, punctuated bursts like claps of thunder, overwhelming sweetness like an orchestra of harpists all rolled into one. There is no such sound in all the world, but someday, in that day, yet in the future, we will be a part of it. Our fully saved hearts will become capable of it. It will pour out of us forever. So folks, if this is going to be the case, let's start rehearsing now. Let's warm up now. We should trust God for daily strength and for a song. That's what our future self would tell our present self if our future self could speak to us now. Look at verse number 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Verse 3 is describing the full supply of satisfaction that we ought to enjoy of our salvation. My mind goes to John chapter 4. You remember in John chapter 4 that Jesus met a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, and you remember the account. Jesus offered her living water so that she would never thirst again. And there on that occasion, Jesus said, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And so what happened in John 4 after the woman encountered Jesus there? The Bible says that she left her water pot at the well, and she went into the city to tell everyone that she had met the Christ. And so what do? As we dive deep into the waters of salvation, I would suggest letter C, we tell others of the joy we've experienced. And that deep dive into all of the depth of the riches of our salvation give us joy so that we celebrate and exclaim telling others of that joy. That was the woman's personal testimony individually in John chapter 4. But how about you, the singular you? How about you? Why would anybody else in the world want to follow Jesus if you are miserable in your walk with the Lord? On the other hand, as we rejoice in our salvation, others see it, and we can tell them of it. Stanza number 1, praise God as a personal testimony. And then for stanza 2, the second stanza of our hymn begins in Isaiah chapter 12, verse number 4, the phrase again, "And in that day you will say." But remember now, in this case, it isn't the singular individual you. Rather, it's the plural collective you. This is for all y'all. This is for all of us together as an assembly. And I would offer you number 2, praise God as a corporate witness. Praise God as a corporate witness. Now, this stanza in verses 4 through 6, okay, we know that the blanks are complete, right? The notes are complete, the outline is done. Do not close your Bibles and turn me off just yet, because we have some important things yet to see. In verses 4 through 6, there is a series of imperatives or commands that God's people are given to praise God. And as we read these verses, look for these commands, verse number 4. "And in that day, y'all will say, praise the Lord, praise Yahweh, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the people, make mention that his name is exalted, sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things, this is known in all the earth, cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." Now when I read Isaiah 12 verses 4 through 6, it sounds to me like these verses belong in the Psalter. It sounds like this is a psalm because these themes and these phrases are so similar to what the psalmist wrote. Furthermore, when I read verses 4 through 6, it sounds to me a bit generic or general or cliche, like, "To God be the glory, great things he has done." But in this context, I believe that Isaiah had something very specific in mind. Not a general, "To God be the glory, great things he has done," but something very specific. If we look back to the end of chapter 11, Isaiah is describing God's deliverance of Israel from their enemies and describing how God will bring his people back to safety in the very same way that he delivered Israel from Egypt. In fact, look at chapter 11, verse 16. "There will be a highway for the remnant of his people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day. Now, this is not a future day. This is a historic day. In the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. Israel's exodus from Egypt is the historic event that best describes God's work of salvation for his people. And in that day, in the past, the children of Israel sang a song. It's called the Song of Moses. I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. I want you to turn there. It's not going to be projected on the screen. I want you to do some work with me. Exodus chapter 15. I would like to read and rehearse for us the Song of Moses, the occasion in which God delivered his people from Egypt in that day. Exodus chapter 15. Follow as I read the Song of Moses. It's an extended portion, but I think it's important for us to fully appreciate that historic event. Exodus 15, verse number 1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang the song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. Now, notice the familiar themes, the similar themes from Isaiah chapter 12. The hymn in Isaiah 12, you'll find as well here in Exodus 15. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Yahweh is his name. Verse 3, Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied in them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. But you blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as still as a stone till your peoples pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Because, verse 19, for the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Folks, there is no way to overstate the significance of that event in the life of Israel. God redeemed his people from Egypt and brought them through the Red Sea as a witness, a public, permanent witness to the works of God. And so consequently, if you read through the Old Testament scripture, if you read through the Psalms, the Bible is repeatedly pointing to this very same event. I could cite Psalm 78 and 105, 106, 135, 136, and in fact, go back to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah even is citing and referencing this very same historic event at the end of chapter 11. And then the hymn of praise in chapter 12. But here's our dilemma, folks. What do we sing? What song do we have to sing? What work of God can we declare among the peoples? What excellent thing has God done in your life individually or in our lives collectively that needs to be known in all the earth? You say, well, see, that's the problem. We don't have a great story to tell, like God bringing Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea. We don't have something that... Well, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Look there on the screen. How about Psalm 40? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. How about this psalm? How about Psalm 145? Again, before you on the screen, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on your glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your greatness. They shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. Does any of this apply to any of us individually or corporately? Verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Folks, whatever you do individually, and you do a lot of great things individually, you need to praise the Lord. And may your future self inform you today to praise the Lord. Of all of the things that you do, the good things that you do, praise the Lord. If I could speak to my former self, this is what I need to tell my younger self: praise the Lord. If my future self could speak to me today, I know what my future self would say for me today: praise the Lord. And so if I could speak to myself today, my current self, praise the Lord. We have been created for his glory. We have been redeemed, Ephesians chapter 1, to the praise of his glory. Whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, we do all to the glory of God, individually and collectively. And the prophet Isaiah gave Israel a point of preparation for their future. In that day, when the time comes, you will sing a hymn of praise to the Lord. We ought to do the same. Let's pray. Oh God, forgive us for our low life living. Forgive us for our selfish, pathetic, ingrown worry and care and burden, our complaining and murmuring. Lord, forgive us for failing to praise you for who you are and for what you've done. Lord, in our lives, if nothing more, we can boast in the Lord and of the salvation that you've granted to us. Lord, I pray that you would find us to be people that praise you above all. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.